Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know, hold to, believe, and live that God has given us three commands, and those commands through His Son are to love God, love others, and go. In them, the entirety of the Scriptures is summed up that we may truly live the Word of God in its completeness. But that does not mean we don't read the Word of God. That means we find ourselves in the Word of God. And to that today, we will continue. As we continue in our sermon series here over Advent, looking at the meaning of our candles and what they bring from the Word of God. As we do that this day, I ask that you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. We're going to begin in chapter 9, in the book of Isaiah in chapter 9. And we are going to read a portion of God's Word. As we look today at proclamation and joy from Isaiah in the 9th chapter, verses 2 through 7. Thus saith the word of the Lord from the 9th chapter and the 2nd verse. The people who have walked in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. You will be glad in your presence, or they will be glad in your presence, as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, as at the battle of Midian. For every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult, every cloak rolled in blood, will be for burning fuel for the fire. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Today, that is the proclamation that we are basing our discussion off of, our series here today in the sermon, Proclamation and Joy. Because we can have joy, we can walk in joy, but we need to understand, God always prepares us for joy by what? A proclamation. There is a proclamation that comes, that from that proclamation of God, joy then follows. We need to remember, you and I cannot create joy. Joy is a spiritual truth, and joy only comes from the Father, just as true hope only comes from the Father, and true peace only comes from the Father. And each of these things, Christ is our hope. Can I get an amen? Christ is our peace, and Christ is our joy. But to us it must be proclaimed that we understand, that we know what is coming our way. Because lest they know, how can they understand? And lest they are told, how will they know? Does that not sound like Scripture that we all know very clearly? So God has set forth to us a way that we are to be, because He is the same way. God will proclaim to us, and here thusly He has done so. I look at this and I think to myself, you know, this speaks of His first coming, but it also speaks of His second coming. We need to realize that this is not a once and done prophecy. This is a prophecy that was fulfilled in Christ's coming the first time, but only in part. The fullness of it comes when He is revealed the second time, which is the Advent we're all looking forward to. Can I get an amen? And that Advent is going to end all wars. How do we know that? Because it says it right here in verse 5. That proclamation is going to end every war. For unto the day He comes, from Matthew 24, and 25 and 24, it says what? There will be wars and rumors of wars. And the day is going to come when every boot and every cloak is going to be fuel for the fire. There'll be no more war. But Christ will set up his kingdom here for us forever, and there will be justice and mercy, and his government will be of peace, and he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom and establish justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. Can I get an amen? And that should bring joy in each and every one of our hearts. Because that's what the proclamation is to do. But what about how we live now? We live in a future joy. We don't live, as Christians, we don't live the way the world lives. We do not live in instant gratification. We live in delayed gratification. We live with the expectation. Oh, gee, I think that was the first week, wasn't it? The expectation of what is yet to come. That is our hope. So proclamation brings us back to expectation. This whole thing is cyclical in the way God has designed it because it keeps us moving forward. It is not idle, okay? You know, somebody brought up to me today, and it was so funny because, you know, folks don't have any idea what I'm going to talk about, but the reality is God knows what I'm talking about. And when we think about God, it tells us in the book of Ezekiel that there is an angel out there that is a wheel within a wheel within a wheel with eyes all around, and they're constantly moving, one inside the other. Does anybody know what a wheel within a wheel within a wheel is? A gyroscope. I was looking at Brother Wendell. I was like, come on, dude, you ought to know this more so than anybody. Everyone knows helicopters and how this thing works, right? Well, what does that do? It brings balance, doesn't it? Without that gyroscope, you can turn that thing upside down and it'll kill you. But with that gyroscope, with that angelic hope, with that divine intervention, he brings all this stuff that's coming at us from every dimension, and he is able to straighten it all out, and we can walk and live and have our being, and he sees it all coming. Nothing catches him off guard. So the proclamation is here. He knows where we are. He knows what's going on. So whatever's coming at us, he sees it, and he gives us joy in the midst of it. How many of you are enjoying some of the tough things of life? Man, I'll tell you, it stinketh getting old. But I know this. I don't live here. I'm simply passing through. And I cannot wait for the day when all of this is washed away and God establishes that eternal state. And that's what this all leads to, doesn't it? That's what he's speaking of here. And that should bring us all joy. We're going to get through this. I don't know anybody that hasn't gotten through it. Okay? One way or another, we all get through it. It just determines where you're going to end up as to whether there's real joy. So we need to remember, just as there was proclamation and there was joy, there is more yet that we need to look at. Well, how much more is there, Pastor? Turn to Isaiah 53 for a moment. Isaiah 53. You know, this is the section of the scriptures that many synagogues don't want to read. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, and we're reading the whole thing. It says, who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, like one whom men hide their face. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due? His grave was assigned with the wicked men, yet he was a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief, if he would render himself as a guilt offering. He will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was remembered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. Blessed be the word of our Lord. I love this portion of Scripture because, remember, this is how long before the Christ came? Again, prophecy, a proclamation of what is yet to be. And from that proclamation, these people were to find joy, that God had a provision. They simply needed to wait on it. We want it, and we want it now. That's our joy. But how long does that joy last? When we get it on our terms, is it not squandered? But when we get it on God's terms, it lasts eternally. And that's what each and every one of us needs to remember. God's proclamation into our lives brings a delayed joy, but yet there is joy in the waiting. How many of you love it on Christmas Eve when the kids go to bed because they know tomorrow is Christmas? And I can remember this, you know, you'd ask your mom and dad, is it Christmas yet? You knew it wasn't Christmas. Is it Christmas yet? For 2 weeks prior to Christmas, is it Christmas yet? And it is so amazing because that anticipation, okay? It's not just anticipation. It's preparation. Because the kids are preparing themselves. They're hepping themselves up for that morning when they all get up. Tell them not to get up until 7 o'clock. They're up at 4. Right? We all know that. How many of you were out there down at the Christmas tree shaking the boxes at 2 a.m.? We all need to prepare. Each and every one of us needs to prepare. Because as we prepare, we get ourselves in line with Him, and He brings the peace that allows the proclamation that is being brought to sink into its depth, that gives us joy that is lasting. You know, this world's going to come at us. This world is going to come at us, but we need to remember the proclamation. So when evil is saying to us, and you know, you're going to fail, and all this stuff's going to go wrong, and you're getting old, and you can't do this stuff no more, and you know, you're losing your remembrance, you know, and what, huh? What we need to remember is the one thing that we know, that Jesus Christ is coming yet again. And hold fast to the joy that that brings in our spirits, because we cannot let Him steal our joy. You know, we just sang the song, How Great Our Joy. Joy, joy, joy. And that was the loud part, right? And then it goes, what? Joy, joy, joy. There are times when you got to hold on to that whisper. Can I get an amen? Because sometimes it's just that little whisper that keeps us going. The joy's still there. But who are we thinking on? Where are we going? And are we allowing that proclamation to come into our lives? But then we have to turn to that joy and understand that as we move in these things, God has something that He wants to speak to us. Here we see that this one, He's coming. He's going to be rejected. He's going to be, you know, killed for our transgressions. We know these things. There's a world out there that does not believe that Jesus is the Christ. So we've understood this proclamation and we've accepted the joy. But what do we need to understand in this proclamation and joy? That it's not for us just to sit here and accept the gift that's been given to us, but we need to take that gift out and give it to others. Just as a candle does not keep its light to itself, but gives light to anyone who looketh thereupon, so too must we be proclaiming the Word of God into our world. During this time of year, we need to literally be telling everybody, Merry Christmas, Jesus loves you. Don't just say Merry Christmas and walk away. Say, Merry Christmas, Jesus loves you. I'll guarantee you that will turn more heads. You know, it used to be the thought, well, if I say Merry Christmas, they're not going to like me. Say, Merry Christmas, Jesus loves you, and see what you get. I love it because when you say it to a Christian, they stop, they turn, they smile and say, well, thank you. Yes, he does. But you say that to a non-Christian, that's not what they say. They will just bug you off. But you still need to proclaim it because we have a joy that they don't have. I'm not saying that because I want them to feel bad. I'm going to make them feel terrible. No, we want them to experience the joy of the season that we're living in. Why do you think depression is so bad this time of year? People don't have hope. They don't know peace. There is no joy because evil has extinguished the light of Christ in their life. Not in the world, because we're still here. And we need to be that light as long as we are living. You out there on the internet, you need to be this light as long as you are living. And you need to hold on to that candle. When it's the darkest, you bring the candle the closest. Can I get an amen? And that's also when you get other Christians around you. Because we need a little bit more flame. One candle is one candle power. If you have 10 candles, how much more light is in the room? 10 times. You know, it's amazing to me. I just went to the mountains, and you all know I love going to the mountains. It's where I find my refreshing. It's where the Lord rebuilds me. I sat around the table with 11 people, all of us from all over southern Pennsylvania. Different jobs, different families. We're not connected. You know, my son and I were there, so yeah, there's a blood connection there. And there was one other family relative there. But everybody else, we're all, if we didn't have that hunting camp in common, we wouldn't be there. And it was amazing. A hunting camp brought a fellowship. Did you ever notice how if you're connected in one way, it'll bring a fellowship and the camaraderie and the fellowship and the joy that's there? And we talk and we laugh. And it's so amazing because I want you to think about this. How many of us here, the one thing we have together is Jesus Christ? How much more hope do we have? How much more peace do we have? How much more joy do we have than just common everyday people with everyday things? That's the point. We know he has defeated all these things. We know he took the stripes for each and every one of us. Our iniquity was laid upon him. And because of that, we have hope. And when we accept that hope, he brings us peace. And from that peace comes joy. And are we going to share this gift or are we going to keep it to ourselves? Because as soon as you do, now you've just put a bowl over your light. And nobody else gets to enjoy it. Well, guess what happens when you put a bowl over your own light? Not even you get to enjoy it because you can't see it either. And if you let the bowl over a lamp long enough, what happens to the light? It goes out. Yeah. Folks, get that bowl off of the light. Let it out. Allow the proclamation of your life. Remember, how many times have I told you this? Live your life in such a way that everybody sees Christ. And if you have to, speak. That's the way God wants us to live. That's the way God wants our lives to be. Because is that not what Jesus showed us? By his life, we know he is God. Not because of what he said, but because of who he was, what he did. Oh my heavens, his life, death, burial, and resurrection show us without any words that he is God Almighty. And when we show our world, proclaiming with all that we are, that we believe that very truth, what then begins to happen? Do you realize the scriptures, the New Testament, were written because of that fact? Let's turn to the book of Luke, and then we'll look at just how this has changed. The book of Luke in chapter 2. The book of Luke in chapter 2. Because this, again, is the proclamation, but it's the proclamation where we're told that there will be joy. And we need to see, I love to use that word, because Jesus is the light of the world. Can I get an amen? And when we understand that when we are looking into him in that spiritual sense, we are literally seeing his light in our lives. Is it a light unto the lighting of this room? No, it is a light unto the lighting of our lives eternally, that we are alive to God. We can see the things of the world, and we can see and know the things of God. From verse 8 in Luke chapter 2, it says, in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, Luke chapter 2, verse 8, and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Can I get an amen? I tell you, I proclaim to you this day that this thing that will bring great joy has happened. Proclamation and joy go hand in hand. And when it was proclaimed, did they look into this thing? Yes, we know they did. The shepherds left their sheep, and they went into Bethlehem, and they sought Mary and the babe. And did they find it? Yes, they found him. That is a picture of us presenting the gospel through our very lives to this world. We proclaim, they check it out. I had to laugh. I had a conversation just this past weekend where I made a comment, and this one gentleman just looked at me and said, well, now, Rich, you need to explain that to me. Where are you getting this from? And I just looked at him and I said, no, I just laid this on the table. Now you go check it out. Because no matter what I tell you, you've got to be the one to look it up. You need to be the one to check it out, because only then will you believe it. The angels were standing in front of them. Did they need to go find Jesus to believe this thing? No, the angels were in front of them. But it's only in the going. It's only in the going. It's only in the investigation. Because when something's proclaimed to us, you know, and how many of you, I want you to think about this, because we've all been psyoped. You all know that. We've all been psyoped. Because if it's on TV, it's got to be true. If the news says it, it has to be true. If it was written in the newspaper, it has to be true. I read that in Reader's Digest. I know, that's a fact. Come on. I got a piece of paper that says I own beachfront property in Arizona. Does anybody want to talk to me? Y'all know what I'm getting at, and I know you do too. We need to investigate everything in life. We need to investigate everything. We need to be people as the Bereans of old, that we are looking into these things to see if they're true. And that's what we need to help people do. That's what proclamation does. It makes them go look. Is this really what is happening? Is this really what is going on? But we have become so lazy, because information is at our fingertips, that we'll just believe the first thing we see or the first thing we hear. And Satan knows that. Why do you think it's that easy? Because we're lazy. You see, Satan knows that too. But God also knows that we can be some of the most expeditious people in the universe. Look what we can do when we put our hearts and minds to us. When we literally think on these things and when we start checking them out and we go after them. You know, we call those people PhDs. Piled higher and deeper. Because they dug a little bit further, didn't they? Yeah, I'm a redneck. Because that's the PhD I want to see. I don't care what you got out of a book. What do you know that you know that you know? And can you back it up? Because I'll guarantee you, God backed up everything he said. God will always back up everything he has ever said. How? By what he does. And that should bring us joy. We know the Bible is true. Why? Because everything that he's ever spoken up to this point has happened. And what are we waiting for? Our hope is all the rest of it's going to come. And we don't hope, as the world hopes, that it's just something that willy-nilly out there and everybody's, you know, well, you know, let's pray this happens. No, I'm not praying it happens. I'm praying for when it happens. It's amazing to me when I think about where we are as a people and what Satan has done to our world, how dark he has made it. And yet we think we're people of great acknowledgement. We think we're greatly, you know, educated. You know, we know everything. We know, yeah, how were the pyramids built? And folks just look at me when I say that kind of stuff. Well, folks, that's technology that's got to be several thousand years old, so we've got to be able to do it, right? If we've already done it, we've got to be able to do it. We can't lift those stones anymore. They're stones, people. We can't make a stone building. Oh, yeah, we can make a stone building. But they got to be rocks this big. It amazes me. How many kids can do long division today? How many children who are out there, when we give them a multiplications and ask them to multiply it there in front of us, they do this thing over here, and they may come up with a different answer, and they don't care. Well, that doesn't matter. Did I figure it right? Whoa, whoa. If you are building a rocket ship to get to Mars, no, let's go a little bit smaller than that. If you're building a bridge to cross a creek, don't you want to know that that engineer got 1 and 1 equal 2? I know I do. So we need to understand that when we are proclaiming something, there's a truth behind it. And in that truth, as we move forward, God proves himself. We're not proving anything. You and I don't have to prove anything. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Then proclaim it, because from that we receive the joy that only God brings. Our world is in such darkness, they don't know what they believe. How much of what they believe changes every day because somebody over here is proclaiming something new? Somebody over here is proclaiming. How many fad diets have you gone through in your lifetime alone? You know, I still have bell-bottom pants hanging in my closet. Well, they are back. I mean, you can literally sell them for a couple of $100 if they're the original ones. That's not a joke, okay? But again, it's, you know, these things come and go, and we attach a wealth to them or a value to them. But we need to remember that very same thing happens with God. What do we value in what he is proclaiming? Because that value ultimately dictates where our end is, and that's where our joy lays. It's not in where we are now. We know we're passing through this place. We know that the angels spoke to these men that were out there. How good was their life? They were shepherds in Israel, living out in the wilderness, tending sheep. You do realize shepherds were the lowest form of the civilized class in Israel and throughout the world. In fact, there were places in the world where if you were a shepherd, you were not allowed to come into town because you were considered a separate class of individuals. There were places you couldn't go. But yet these shepherds, who proclaimed to who? The divinity of God came first to them through the angels and then to us. So we need to remember that proclamation goes to the lowest of low. And in God's eyes, who's the lowest of the low? Sinners who do not know Christ. That's us before Christ. And now we're a child of God. What makes the difference, people? A choice. That's it. And somebody proclaimed to you, and now you have joy. So take that joy, live that joy, preach that joy, move in that joy. Because from that very reality, we have the word. Turn to 1 John, my last scripture today. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Verses 1 through 10 of the book of 1 John. And I love this because this is what I'm talking about. What was from the beginning, what we have heard and what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest to us. What we have seen and heard we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus the Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie, and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm going to say some hard stuff here. Because when we deny Christ, when we deny the light that we truly have within us, we are making Him to be a liar, because we're literally saying that He doesn't have that light of life. We are literally saying that we're still in our sin because we are not proclaiming the truth of the word which John just spoke to us here. He proclaimed it because he was eyewitness to it, because he touched it. He was there with it. With Him, Jesus the Christ, with our Lord and Savior. And he experienced the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. He understood what was going on, and he began to proclaim it into this world. And when we walk in that proclamation, we find joy. But that joy is transforming us from what we were to what we are yet to become. And that's the whole second portion of what I just read here, that He is light, and we need to come into that light, get the darkness out of us. We need to reject the sin, move away therefrom, and remember that if we say we do not sin, we're a liar, and we have no part with Him. I am not a good person, and I know that. I am a sinner saved by grace, and I need that every day of my life. That's German Reformed Theology 101. And I hold to it because I need Him every hour. Lord, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. No, every moment I need Thee. Because with one moment of myself, I know where I will go. Can I get an amen? And I know you're all saying that to yourselves. But someone made the proclamation. I don't know who it was in your life. And it may have been more than one someone, amen? It may have been a whole family. I mean, you know, I think about your family, Matt, and how you all got together and did your Bible study, all that good. It was a whole family. But you heard the proclamation. You saw the joy. You saw the hope. And it became part of you, didn't it? And now you're passing it on to your boys. And I can look at every one of us and say, tell me your story. Your story is your proclamation. You know, people say, but I don't know the scripture. Yes, you do. It's written on your heart. It's your story. Tell it. Proclaim it from the rooftops. And let the joy that's in you out. I'll tell you right now, when you speak the truth that you know, nobody can doubt your joy. It shows. You beam like a light that can't be extinguished. And by God, yes, I just said that, by God, it can't. The only one who can put it out is you. So stop getting the bowl out and open the window and let that light shine. May the joy of Christ exude from you. May you proclaim it from the mountaintops. And may the peace of God overflow you as you yourself prepare and others see that and they begin to prepare. For we know the hope we have, for the expectation has been set by God that He is on His way again. Can I get an amen? And to that, we leave ourselves to next week when we are going to talk about love and just what all that entails. Because it's funny to me, I use it as the last week. Because love wraps it all up. But do you know without love, expectation doesn't work. You can't do the first without the last. And you can't do the last without the first. For I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, declareth the Lord. Can you see how it works? A wheel within a wheel within a wheel. And this thing is going to keep going. Remember, folks, we are eternal beings. This physical body isn't. But my spirit is, my soul is. And that's where truly God lives in each and every one of us. May the joy of Christ guide you throughout this week into the coming week when we look to examining the love of God and just how deep the love really is. Pray with me, church. Father God, we love you so much and we come before you. We thank you for the joy that you have given us. And now perhaps we understand a little bit better just how important proclamation is. And that, Lord, we don't need to know the whole Bible. All we need to know is you. And may our lives proclaim that truth by who we are and what we do. Lord, I pray for every person out there that wants to receive this joy at this time of the year, at any time of the year, but especially today, that if it is your heart to walk in the joy of Christ, all you need to do is repent of your sin, as we just heard here from the book of John, and accept Christ into our hearts. It's that simple. It's no big thing, but boy, it is the biggest thing you will ever do. Lord Jesus, may the light of Christ, your light, shine through us now and forever. And may our hearts always walk in the joy, no matter the darkness outside, inside, we are a light, aglow with the glory of your face. In your precious name, Lord Jesus, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.